Heyo, welcome to the No Show. I'm your host, Jack, and with me today we have got.
Alexandra.
Ooh, hello, Alexandra.
Hello, it's been a while.
Howdy, howdy, it has been a while.
It's been so long since I've been on the podcast.
Yeah, and this one's exciting because we're in person doing this one. Just kind of the way that it just worked out for us to be like in the same room. So we're trying, this time, my method for in-person recording is just the voice app on my laptop, and I wanted to see just how good that was.
I think it's fine. I
Think it's
think it's gonna
good.
go okay.
Yeah. I find that like every once in a while, someone on a Zoom call will be like, "Jack, your microphone sounds really good. What mic are you using?" And I'm like, "I'm just using my laptop microphone." So
I get a lot of people telling me to disconnect my headphones because my headphone mic is so bad.
Oh yeah, I get that with the AirPods.
Yeah, my
AirPod
AirPods,
mics are awful
my
for some reason.
Beats I got from like a family friend who works for the source.
Oh.
So, but I got them, I believe, because they are like so, they're defective to the point where they can't sell them. So I think that might have something to do with it. So from the
Nice.
beginning, yeah, the Beats microphone was not it.
Oh man. My dad used to work for not the Source, but Radio Shack.
Oh my
Like what the
God.
Source used to be. And he
I
always told me,
haven't
yeah.
heard the words Radio
I
Shack in
know.
so
I don't
long.
know if there are active Radio Shacks. I'm gonna look
I
it
don't
up.
think there are. There might be in the US.
One of my favorite store rebrandings was EB Games rebranding as GameStop,
And then
which is
that came to be.
hilarious because they used to be GameStop. And then
Yeah.
they went, we're
I
rebranding.
feel like that's happened like three times.
Yeah, and I think it was all because of the stock stuff.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That was so that like that's just so comedic. I remember walking into Conestoga, and I think I was with you. It might have been on Black Friday when we went, "Oh, it's GameStop
Yeah, and I was
again."
like, whoa, that's hilarious. Radio Shack. Shack is back. I guess it had like a resurgence. Maybe they've taken some like, because I'm pretty sure it became the source. So maybe they're doing the same thing where they've taken some sources and like rebranded them again as Radio Shack to be like, oh, whoa, check this out.
That's so funny.
Did you ever have, you grew up in more of like a city than I did, I
Yeah,
think.
I grew up in Toronto.
Did you ever have a Future Shop?
No. What's
Future
that?
Shop. I don't know how to, it was pretty much just like a, it's like what Best Buy is now. Like
Oh,
the
okay.
current Best Buy in my town, Sarnia, was a Future Shop. And
Okay.
then Best Buy bought Future Shop.
I feel like that's something I might have experienced when I was really young, when I lived in like Newmarket. When I
Yeah.
was like literally baby infant. But yeah, no, in Toronto, all of the tech stores that I went to were either Best Buy, Apple Store, or The Source.
Yeah, I remember like I grew up in Sarnia when it was like, oh, we're getting real stores now. Like we just got a HomeSense like a year or two ago.
Oh, that's
When I was a
crazy.
kid, I remember our movie theater, I don't remember what the brand was. It was like a knot. I also am tapping the table a
Not.
bit. That's gonna come across in the audio pretty
Oh,
bad.
fun.
It was like it didn't have stadium seating. It was like a flat floor. And I remember it was a big deal when they
What?
tore it down and we got like a Galaxy Cineplex. And now, like, we have some things that other people don't. Like, we have D-Box in Sarnia. Waterloo does not have D-Box.
Sorry, I'm so stuck on this
I know.
cinema.
It was flat.
I'm imagining like Gilmore Girls when they have that tiny, teeny
Yeah.
room with
Oh.
like a projector the size of the wall in this room, which is not very big. And it's like 20 seats on
Yeah.
a flat floor.
It was like a real like movie theater with like different theaters,
Yeah,
but it was
like
just like flat floors. There
that's
was no stadium
so
seating. And
odd.
when they were building like the new theater, we would drive by and we'd be like, "Oh my God, you can see like they're building the like the arena style seating." And it was a big deal.
That's so crazy.
And then I saw Do you know what the first movie I saw in that theater was? It
What?
was After Earth, the Will Smith and Jaden
Not
Smith movie.
I never saw that movie. I remember seeing so much about it. I remember being scared because it reminded me of space films, and I don't like anything.
I hate space.
The only space films that I can deal with are Star Wars because they're so science fiction.
What about Star Trek?
I don't think I've ever seen Star Trek.
Damn. After Earth came out, because I remember, like, my dad was like, we could see After Earth or we could see, that was Star Trek, like, the new second Star Trek movie, Star Trek Into Darkness. Uh-huh. And I was like, I haven't seen the first one yet. Let's just go see After Earth.
Fair enough.
And now I love the new Star Trek movies.
Thinking about, like, repurposed buildings, when I moved to Collingwood, it was really funny because I grew up skiing there, like, being a weekender. Mm-hmm. And then there was a mall there when I was growing up.
Oh, yeah.
And I loved this mall. First of all, this mall had a La Senza girl.
Dang!
This mall had a Dippin' Dots machine.
Oh, I love Dippin' Dots so much!
This mall rocked so hard. And then when I moved, they tore it down.
Ooh.
And they put in, like, I guess you'd call it, like, a strip mall.
Oh, yeah.
Like, where it's just, like, a storefront. Yeah,
like an outdoor mall.
Now all that's there is a Dollarama, a Bed Bath & Beyond, and a Winners.
Dang.
And that's it. Or I guess a Freshco as well. But, like, I miss so badly the, like, nostalgia of old buildings.
Mm-hmm.
That you walked in, you went, this looks horrible.
Last week, I did some, like, mall running around with my partner, Amina. And she grew up in, like, Mississauga. So, like, Square One, all that. And she asked us to walk around. She asked me, like, is the Conestoga Mall big to you? Like, to your, like, small town brain? And I went, yeah, it's bigger. Like, we had, Sarnia had the Bayside Mall, which was like, and now it's like, so the Bayside Mall, when Lambton Mall opened, which is our bigger current mall, the Bayside Mall was, like, empty, dead. Mm-hmm. No one was there. It was downtown. They had, like, some services in there. Like, I remember going in there to, like, get, like, my health card renewed.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And it's gone now. It's torn down. And they're putting in some sort of living. I think it might be, like, seniors' homes. Mm-hmm. Some sort of living is going in there. But Lambton Mall is our current mall. But it's big, but it's not, like, big.
But is it, like, in Sarnia? Because the closest... Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. The closest mall to Collingwood is an hour away. It's in Barrie.
Oh.
And the Georgian Mall, the best way I can describe the Georgian Mall is honestly kind of like Conestoga, mm-hmm. but it's not as, like, busy ever. Mm-hmm. There's never people in the Georgian Mall. I don't know why.
Wow.
I don't know what the deal is with the Georgian Mall, but when I came here to the Conestoga, mm-hmm. and I saw the Conestoga Mall, it's that little bit bigger, and it's a lot busier.
Yeah.
And I was actually in Toronto over reading week with my best friend Rachel, and we went to the Eaton Centre.
Oh, yeah.
I was so overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Like, that place is huge. It's three levels.
Yeah, I grew up going to Toronto in the summers because my dad, through his, like, job that he used to have, would get hotel rooms at the Eaton Chelsea. Used to be the Delta Chelsea, now the Eaton Chelsea, which is, like, right downtown, like, where the Eaton Centre is. And so we would go there, and I remember being like, this mall has more than one floor?
Yeah.
What? That's crazy. And it goes both directions. Like, you walk in, and you're not on the bottom or the top floor.
No. Also, I've never been through the little... Do you know the, like, tunnel in the Eaton Center?
Yes.
That's, like, you walk through it, and you walk over the street. Where does that go?
I don't think I've been there. I assume it goes to maybe, like, offices?
Maybe. That would make sense. Yeah, it's weird because the bridge looks so cool, but it's such a, like, there could be an alternate dimension on the other side of it that I just never knew about.
I really want to, sometime, like, after the semester, take a weekend and go to Toronto.
Yeah.
And just go to, like, the Eaton Center and stuff like that, because I haven't been in years.
We probably would stay with Rachel.
Yeah, totally, yeah, because COVID, COVID hit. Last time I went for Fan Expo, which was 2019. The summer of 2019,
wow.
I went to Fan Expo. And yeah, then just COVID hit and my dad changed jobs. So we didn't get free. But last when we went, my dad got through his job a hotel room at Hotel X.
Oh my gosh, we were just talking.
Yeah, I was saying you like just stayed there. And it's Oh my god,
my
it's
dad
incredible.
Had his birthday there. Like
it's
my
incredible.
My stepmom.
Right, that's what it was. I can't remember.
Surprise party for him, and I entered. First of all, I entered this building. I went, I don't belong here.
Yes, yeah, same.
I do not belong here. This is. They can smell my tax bracket when I walk in this in these doors. And then I was just like exploring it.
My dad and I like walked all around it.
We walked around a bit, but we didn't have that much time, and we couldn't like be around because like my dad was just gonna be around, and we didn't want to spoil anything.
Yeah.
But we were like sitting in the room looking at all the amenities online, and I was like, "There is like multiple basketball courts,
basketball
squash
courts, tennis courts,
It's
insane.
There's a golf simulator. There's a movie theater.
Yeah.
There might be more than one. I don't even know.
Yeah.
It like." And there are some, like, high-class restaurants in there.
Yeah.
They were so good.
It's all, like...
I barely paid for any of that, and it was awesome.
It's all, like how when you go into a hotel room, and they're like, here's the little coffee machine, and coffee. It's Nespresso.
Yeah! Yeah!
And they have, like, a Nespresso cafe in the building.
Crazy.
And we were like, what?
As if it was a Nespresso...
Oh, man.
That felt so...
Very funny. The pool is heated, I'm pretty sure, too.
Oh, it is, because
it's lovely.
When would that have been? December.
Right,
and we were on the rooftop, or, like, whatever room there was, and you could look out to the pool, and that pool was steaming, and there were people swimming in it outside.
What was really cool about when I went was it was also during CNE. Which is, like, right next to it. And so it was really awesome getting to, like, look down and see the whole fairgrounds.
Yeah. And be like, whoa. That's really, really cool. I've never experienced
never been to
the CNE.
I went a couple times. It's pretty cool.
I had a really bad experience going to the GNE, which is the Great Northern Exhibition, which is in Wasaga Beach. And that is a story for another time. But I, like, ever since then, I just don't do city fairs.
We have the Brigden Fair. There's, like, have you ever heard of Brigden?
No.
Brigden is, like, about, like, a half hour from Sarnia. And it's a little, like, farm town. And they have, like, fairgrounds. And it's actually, like, a really nice fair. But it is very much, like, when you get on a ride, you're putting your life in the hands of a guy who's, like, smoking a cigarette.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Carnies are, like, a different breed, man.
Yeah. Oh.
They have to see so much.
Yeah.
Like, I always think about being a carny I don't think about being a carny, but I think about the job, and it's so demanding. It is so, like, I'd be so terrified at all times.
Yeah.
It's such a large place to be in, and then you are responsible for so many people's lives.
Yeah.
If you're in charge of the rides.
It's crazy.
So scary.
Oh. I love a good big old fair.
I did once when I was in St. Andrews. I was on vacation with my family, and I was in St. Andrews, Scotland. And there was we literally just like went on a walk, me and my cousins and my siblings, and we stumbled upon this fair. And we were like, oh, crazy. And we like did bumper cards and all these things. And then we got to this ride that was like somewhat of a slingshot ride.
I see, where it like goes in the circle and...
No. Like as if it were like a tear on like an access. And you go like...
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly. And everybody else was like, no, we're not doing it. And me and my stepbrother were like, we'll do it. It's fine. And then we got on the ride and we went, oh, this is creaking, and I can hear it so vividly in my ears. And it was really scary, but I'm happy I did it. Now I can say that I went to a random fair in St. Andrews, Scotland, and rode the most terrifying ride I've ever ridden in my entire life.
A couple summers back was when I did that, like, week-long thing in Mississauga. Like, the theater thing that I did.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember when we were like, oh, like, we have a few days free after. Why don't we do, like, a day trip down to Canada's Wonderland? That was the week that, like, everything was breaking down. Do you remember that? And we were like, we're like, you know what? Let's go another time. We don't want to get stuck on a ride for, like, an hour.
Yeah.
Because it was, like, every day a different ride was getting stuck or breaking down.
Do you like Canada's Wonderland?
I've been twice
That's...
my whole life, and I like it. Yeah, it's all right.
So I because I grew up in Toronto, a lot of the time when I was younger, my mom, I think it's really funny the way that my mom treated like kindergarten for me, because she was like, it's expendable, you don't have to go. And
did you have, sorry, quick interlude, did you have daily kindergarten or every other day kindergarten?
Remember actually. Oh. I don't remember what
mine was every other day. I remember.
I went to Montessori school.
Oh,
so Montessori school. It's like a different like European school system type thing. Fancy. And I did half day French immersion. I learned long division when I was in kindergarten.
Dang.
It was weird. Whoa. But mine, honestly, it was cool.
Mine was French. But wow.
Crazy. I know, right? But yeah, anyways, my mom would always pull me out of classes and then be like, guess where we're going? And we'd get season's passes all the time. Nice. And we'd go like 5 times a year.
Whoa.
And I loved it when I was really, really young, because I just got to do like the fun little rides.
Yeah.
And we got our face painted. Yeah. and got a bunch of candy and stuff. Now it's such a plan. Like, you have to go there. You have to plan what rides you want to go on. You have to check the wait times. You have to be prepared to stand in lines for however long.
Oh.
The last time I went was with my dad and my brothers, and I made my little brother go on Top Gun. He was like, I could tell the whole time that he was like, I don't know if I want to do this. And I was like, you're fine. I promise you're fine. And he screamed the whole way. And then at the end of it, he was like, okay, I'm happy I did. But yeah, I like the experiences now of Canada's Wonderland, but it's such a, you have to plan so much.
Wow. Last time I went was in grade 10. We did like our band went for like a day, and it was like we like did a little performance, and then we just got kind of like the day free.
Oh yeah.
And I like fast roller coasters. I don't like drops. I hate drops. I'm not a drop man, but I love going fast.
Yeah.
I love speed. And so my dad beforehand was like, there is also like an arcade. Like, you can go to the arcade if you don't want to go on like big roller coasters. And I was like, awesome. Mental note. I knew there were Icies. I love Icies. I look for Icies everywhere. And I was talking to one of my friends in the bus, and he was like, I'm the same. So we ended up going on different roller coasters. And I remember at one point at the end, the people that I was with were like, we want to do a water ride.
I love water rides. Someone knocking on the radio.
I might go check what that is.
That's okay. Bam. I'll vamp. Let me tell you the story of when my partner took me on a drop tower at Canada's Wonderland, and I was so upset because I do not do drops. I do not do that. I don't mind drops when we're on rides like the Behemoth or Leviathan, where it's like a big drop. But, you know, you're still moving and there's momentum. It's the drop towers that get me.
Oh, I hate drop
and
towers.
I'm talking about how Bradley made me go on a drop tower the last time we went to Canada's Wonderland. Because everyone went. And he was like, don't just sit here and not go. And I was like, you're right. You know what? You're right. And I'll do it. And as we were climbing the drop tower, like not climbing, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
As we were elevating in altitude, I literally was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to breathe on my way down. Like, this is so terrifying. I don't like how much I can see, and I don't like that after our drop, we're not going anywhere. I just have to sit with the fact that I just dropped however many feet, and it was horrid.
Ooh.
And I made him promise to never make me do that again.
Nice. Well, I am. So anyways, my group was like,
yes,
we want to go on a water ride. And I was like, I don't think I'm going to go on it with you guys. I don't want to get wet, because we're like about to leave an hour.
Yeah.
And it's like a 3-hour bus ride back to Sardia. And so I was like, but I'll go stand with y'all. And so I went, and they got in line, and it was clear that like the line, they were going to like get on it and then immediately have to hightail it back to the bus.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what, guys? You guys do this. I still want to hit the arcade. I haven't done that yet. We got like an hour. I want to get like an icy refill. I'll meet y'all back at the bus and we leave. They're like, yeah. And I learned that being in a theme park by yourself is amazing.
I want to go to a theme park by myself so bad.
I could walk at my own pace. I was looking at things. I played around the arcade for like half an hour.
Yeah.
Got my icy refilled.
That's so fun.
It was so good. I have like an internal rule that like if I'm somewhere that has icies, I get, like, the biggest size.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it's always, like, the refillable cups. Yeah. And then you can refill it during the day.
Exactly. It's just it's just an investment.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Do you want to jump into the first game?
Absolutely.
Alrighty, let me pull up. I gotta do a little bit of Googling. I kind of, like, I was starting to figure this out in class, but I knew I kind of had to look up. So, my laptop is loud today. Good Lord.
It is loud. My last laptop was so loud, mm-hmm. and I could tell that it was just on its last legs, and I wish so badly that I had backed it up sooner, because now all of my stuff that was on that laptop is gone.
Oh, man. So we were talking earlier today about reality TV.
Yes.
And I was thinking about this just because of, like, weird reality TV, uh-huh. and I wonder, like, Do you know the whole idea behind MILF Manor?
No.
There's a reality show. I'm so glad you haven't heard of this because wanted to see.
I've heard of it, but I haven't. I don't know the premise.
Oh, okay. MILF Manor. I'm gonna have you guess the premise because that's kind of the whole point of the game. Okay. But I want you to. What do you think MILF Manor is about?
Okay. My thought is that MILF Manor is about putting a bunch of, like, middle-aged attractive women mm-hmm. Into, like, a house in the same way that you would with mm-hmm. like,
yeah,
I don't know, like, literally Big Brother,
mm-hmm.
and then putting a bunch of, like, younger kids into that house,
yeah,
with them,
like young hot guys,
yeah, freaky,
yeah. You've nailed it.
Okay.
There's one twist.
Okay.
The guys are their sons.
Why?
Dating each other's sons, and I haven't watched it, but it's awesome. It's hilarious.
That reminds me
awful.
There's one show that I absolutely hate, and Bradley and I started it while we were at Hotel mm-hmm. X, and it's Dated and Related.
I've heard about this one. Yeah,
and that you put two siblings, like,
yeah,
you go with your sibling. Yeah. And you try and, like, wingman them with a bunch of other people. Like, that, uh-huh. no, it's so weird.
Yeah. I thought, when I first heard the name of the show, Dated and Related, I thought it was going to be, like, two groups, and you're related to one other person in the group, and you don't
literally
know who it
same.
Is.
Same. I was like, why are we promoting incest here?
Oh,
I don't.
Man. It's crazy. So the idea of the show is, well, A, for the record, I saw someone say that MILF Manor would be even better if one of the pairs was a stepmom and stepkid. But that's aside. The whole point of the show, not the show, of the game is I'm going to be telling you the name of a reality show. Okay. And you're going to try to guess what the premise is.
I love this.
Guys, so I'm just Googling, like, weirdest reality shows.
I love this because there are a lot of reality shows that I love. But, mm-hmm. like, those reality shows are kind of far and few in between.
Yeah.
And so there are a bunch that I just, like, have heard of that I don't know the premise of. So yeah. I'm excited.
It's crazy. So this one ran in 2003, and apparently it was revamped in 2022 and is still going. The name is Joe Millionaire.
Okay. My thought for this one is that back in the day, some guy named Joe was like, I'm going to make this show, and I'm going to make people to compete to, like, be millionaires. And the only other thing that I have, guess that I have for this show is that it's now hosted by Joe McHale.
So, you don't have it, I'll be honest.
Okay, yeah.
So, the idea of the show is several women are competing for the hand of a millionaire bachelor. The catch, he's not a millionaire.
Oh, my
He's
God.
He's pretending to be a millionaire.
Oh, my God. Wait, know, is it, right? like, Bachelor-type thing where there's one person?
Yeah, yeah. It's, like, one man. He's pretending to be a millionaire, and everyone's, like,
oh, God.
Trying to...
I hate shows like that. There are so many shows like that in the early 2000s where, like, the premise was just a lie.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the show, they're like, ha-ha. Like,
we lied to you.
And you're like, oh, I just wasted months of my life on this.
That's that one. As I'm scrolling through, I see some that, like, I love. Worst Driver. Do you remember Worst Driver?
Yes, yes.
That's a great show.
That's a great show.
But the next one I'm going to have you guess is, this one I don't think you'll guess from the name, but I just like the idea, so I want just to have you guess it. The Interception.
The Interceptor.
Ran from 1997 to 1998.
Oh my gosh. Okay, 1 year.
Yeah.
1 year of running, and it was in the late 90s, and it's called The Interception.
Yeah.
I'm gonna guess that this has something to do with, like, maybe, like, oh, jeez.
I can give you a little hint that...
Give me one hint.
It's about driving.
Okay. Is it about, like, catching people at the border?
Kind of.
Okay.
You're kind of close.
Okay.
So the idea of the interception is they offer the players a free car right out of the gate. But then they tell them the catch, which is you have to evade the Russian police in a car chase for 35 minutes in order to keep it.
Oh, my God.
So the show apparently was made because at that time in Russia, carjacking was rampant. So they thought that this would discourage carjacking. A, rates of carjacking did not change at all. And they did the chases in real Moscow streets. So the risks were pretty high.
Oh my goodness. I want to know the amount of people that actually got away with it in the show, because I feel like that might
I feel like I could. 100% I feel like I could. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm just going to say the other ones that I see as I scroll through. I'm not going to guess. 90 Day Fiancé, that's a crazy one.
Yeah.
This one is funny. I'm not going to have you guess this one. This one's called Penitents Compete. It was a 2009 show.
And the idea of the show is you had a panel of a Jewish rabbi, a Christian priest, a Buddhist monk, and a Muslim imam. I probably said that wrong. I apologize. So then they present them with 10 atheists every week. And they're all competing to convert the atheist to their religion.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That is literally... I think that might be the smartest thing I've ever heard for a reality TV show. That would be so... I don't know why that... I can't describe why, but that would be so entertaining.
Oh, man.
Also, possibly educational.
Yeah. Other ones I see. Sexy Beasts. We watched some of Sexy Beasts the other day.
I know the premise.
It's good.
Of this
it's
one,
crazy.
Which is awesome. Okay, I only know the premise of this one because I had to watch the trailer when I saw it come up on Netflix. Because as if they just made them, like, we did not need to have this premise of like a masked blind date.
Yeah.
But they are animals. Yeah. We did not need to do that. That is not something that the world needed. But it happened.
Yeah.
It's very funny. Next one I'm going to have you guess. I Want to Marry Harry.
I Want to Marry Harry?
It's a 2014 show.
2014.
Yeah.
Please tell me this doesn't have to do with Prince Harry.
What?
Oh, jeez.
You're getting close.
Okay. Is it like literally a, again, like bachelor type show where there's a competition to see who is the most compatible with Prince Harry.
But where's the twist?
Oh, but the twist is he's not Prince Harry.
Exactly.
Oh,
he's a Prince Harry impersonator.
Oh my God.
They date him for a while. Apparently, like, some deleted scenes show some of the contestants starting to question that it's actually him. And I think that this came out... Let me look this up. I think that this also came out around Prince Harry's actual marriage.
Yeah.
Or at least, like, when he started to date Meghan.
See, when you said 2014, I was like, when did Meghan and Harry get married?
Exactly.
Gotta read the book.
Yeah. That's it for this article. I pulled another article. There's one in this article that I'm going to talk about after. It's crazy. What about this one? What? That's a weird one. This is a weird one that I just need to mention. Scream Queens, and they're all competing for a role in Saw 4.
That's really funny because you know the show Scream Queens, correct?
Yeah, I've heard of the show. Yeah, it's mentioned in the thing.
That's nuts.
This show? So I'm just reacting to other shows on the list that I'm not going to have you guess.
Yeah.
This one called Vanilla Ice Goes Amish.
Okay.
It's literally what he does. That one's not great. Oh, This is a great one. I've heard of this one before. Kid Nation.
Kid Nation.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say that this is like a the next star type deal. No? Okay. No. Then maybe like Kid Nation. Does it have to do with something like going into schools?
Nope. Kind of the opposite, I would say.
Oh. Incarceration? Juvenile detention? No. Kind of the same thing. Okay, no, tell me, because I'm not going to guess it if it's not.
The idea of the show, so you take 40 kids aged 8 to 15, you bus them out to like a fake little built like Old West town in the desert, and you leave them there. And you give them challenges and like animals to take care of. And like one of the most controversial episodes, I saw a whole TikTok about this. One of the most controversial episodes was they're having these kids take care of these chickens and like pigs. Oh, and then they say to them like, okay, now eat them.
Oh my God.
And it was a big thing. And that's one of the kids, so I guess, like grew up on a farm, so he was like, I'll do it. And they all were like, no, don't do it.
That's so horrid. Oh my God.
Oh man, I'm gonna keep looking for more.
I think I wanted to bring one up that I don't know if you know about.
I don't know.
But
don't...
keep going and then I'll
I gotta keep Googling.
Crap. Neither of us can fail.
That's okay. I'll talk about the ones that I scroll by. Joe Millionaire again, I wanna marry Harry. Ooh, what's this one? Oh, what? Hold on. This one's crazy. Okay, this one's called Mr. Personality. And it's just a bunch of, like, bros are competing for the affections of, like, a hot girl. But she can't see them. And I think that the kicker of this is that it's hosted by Monica Lewinsky.
Oh, my God.
This show called Average Joe, and the whole idea is it's average women and average men are competing to date each other.
Oh my goodness. Okay, I found the one that I was thinking of. Go for it. I'll be so upset if you do know this one. Okay. Mm-hmm. The show is called Parent Control.
Parent Control.
And it ran on MTV from 2006 to, I believe, 2010.
Uh-huh.
2009. Wait. 2010. Yeah.
Oh. My guess would be that it's like the kids and parents like swap places.
That's wife swap.
No. No, I mean like the kids become the parents and the parents become the
kids. Whoa. Oh, that'd be a sick premise. Think about, someone write that down.
Yeah, think about like every sitcom that at some point does that.
Yeah. Okay, no.
I don't know.
It's the premise is like fed up parents send their kids on two blind dates hoping that they'll dump like their current partner.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah. It's so
that's
good.
Fantastic. I love it.
Hilarious. And it is also horrid, but it is so funny. And
oh my God.
I forgot about this show until Cody Coe and Kelsey did like a little like rewatch of it, and I was like, oh my God, I forgot about this show, and it was nuts, like as if they just did that. And it's so funny because it's got that like early 2000s sort of scripted reality TV feel to it, and you can tell that some things are scripted and some things are totally natural, and you're like,
awesome,
oh, it's so good,
it's great, I love it. Okay, anyways, I got a few more.
Okay.
First one, American Candidate.
American Candidate.
Ran for a single season in 2004.
2004.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say this has to do something with, like, nationalism, military type deal.
Kind of. Think about 2004. Think about what was happening in 2004.
I was 3, bro. what was happening in 2004? I don't know. Could it be something to do with like what's that thing that we have that's like cadets? Where you're like,
no.
Oh, okay. Okay, I don't know.
I see you're sort of dancing around it.
Okay.
I guess that the idea is this article that I'm on is way less like
detailed explanations. The idea is that, like, the people on the show are competing to select a people's candidate for that year's presidential election.
Oh my gosh.
Which I think is a great idea.
I think that's really
smart. Why
don't
we do that more?
Yeah, that would be kind and, you know, democratic.
Oh, man, yeah. We're just going to keep going on this for a while.
Please, I like this.
This next one, I think the name kind of gives it away. Who's Your Daddy is the name of the show. It ran for one episode.
Okay. I have two options for this, yeah. I think, that just popped in my head. Mm-hmm. Number one is like a voice jumbled, you know, like sheet in between.
Oh, I see. Yeah, kind of like a game show.
Yeah, game show where you like actually try and guess who you're.
If it helps, I'll tell you that it wasn't supposed to only last. Like, it was supposed to be like a season long show.
Oh, absolutely.
But it only lasted for one episode.
See, but that makes me think that it's not that, because it had to be so much more controversial.
You're on the right track.
Okay. So, can I give the hint of, am I on the right track topic-wise or, like, show structure-wise?
Like, topic-wise. Like, goal-wise, you're kind of on the right track.
Okay. So, okay. So it's, you get set up on these, like, not dates, but, like, meetings with, like, different men, or, like, in a panel of some sort with different men who are, like, could be your father's age, and you have not grown up with the father your whole life. And so you're trying to guess which one is your biological
dad. That's
man.
It.
Yes!
These, like, descriptions don't say much about, like, the structure of the show.
Yeah.
But, like, that is the goal, is that a woman is presented with 25 total strangers, one of which is her biological father.
That's horrible.
And she has to guess who her biological father is.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man. I have another one. I specifically Googled this one.
Oh, my God,
I heard
sorry.
About,
I just need to, I looked it up, and the prize for that show was $100,000.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
It's awesome.
Sorry, continue.
This next one I specifically looked for, because I've heard about this before, and I think it's a fantastic idea. The show was called Space Cadets. Aired across 10 consecutive nights in 2005.
Oh, my gosh. I feel like I've heard of this. Can I get, like, an age demographic?
I don't know if there's really, like... age ranges from 19 to 28.
Okay, so you have to be an adult.
Yeah.
To participate?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, I'm gonna say that this has to do with, I don't want to say that it has to be do with, like, being put under, like, tests that astronauts have to go through, but more like the control center side of it. And, like,
I think you're kind of on the right track.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe you're... I don't want to say this because it sounds like the worst idea in the world, and it couldn't possibly be there.
Go for it.
But I feel like it's like you are put into a team of people that has to send someone into space.
You're kind of on the right track.
Okay.
So, I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
They did the show. They took a group of people, and they said, we are going to, we're going to train you for, we're going to fly you from Suffolk, England, to Russia. You're going to train for a bit. You're going to compete. Four of you will embark on a 5-day mission in low Earth orbit. In space.
Oh my god, that is not.
So they
safe.
Take these people, they fly them from Suffolk to Russia, and they do the whole training. Here's the thing: they take the people, they depart from Suffolk, they fly in a circle, they go back. The whole thing is a hoax. The
no
entire
way.
Thing is a hoax. They never left England.
Oh my god.
They never
gosh.
Left England.
That's so crazy.
I love it. And I don't know, like, I don't know, like, what... three of the cadets were actors. That's amazing.
Whoa.
So to, like, help it out. I'm on, like, the Wikipedia article, and I'm trying to figure out, like, what the reveal was like. It says prize. All nine contestants won a genuine trip to Russia, including a trip to Star City, a small town, which is the home to a compliment training facility, and a ride on a parabolic flight experience for weightlessness. Each cadet won a cash prize of $5,000. The three cadets who went in...
Just for participating?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The three cadets who, like, won the trip into space got $25,000.
Oh.
So I, like...
I like that.
That's actually really nice. Cause
that's
they're
a really cool prize.
Yeah, because they're like, listen, we know that we made you look stupid and we tricked you. We're actually going to give you a lot of stuff.
Also, like... like, I don't know. The premise of being, like... to win this, you have to go through a very small amount of training that should take you years to go into space and is, you know, possibly putting your life at risk. At least we are actually rewarding you. That is so crazy.
Claimed by Channel 5 to have cost roughly 5 million pounds.
Jeez.
I'm trying to figure out, like, how long they had to train.
And it only ran for 10 episodes.
Yeah.
So one season. Or was each episode like a...
I think, like, it was like one season. I don't think it was meant to be multiple seasons. I think it was meant to be a one season show.
I like that.
They had contingency plans. I'm trying to figure out, like, how long they
I'm
had.
I'm sorry, my stomach might make a really loud noise in the
That's
next
okay.
seconds.
My stomach always makes loud noise.
I hope you guys enjoy our stomach noises on the no show.
Also, for the record, I know I'm probably saying cephalochoron. I don't know how to say it.
I don't know. I don't know how to say.
Keep scrolling down the list.
A couple more MTV shows that were crazy, because those were actually crazy.
This one's called Farmer Wants a Wife, and they take 10 women who grew up in the big city and wanted to leave the big city to compete for farmers.
Jeez.
Blue plots. Splash.
Okay, you know what reality shows no one talks about enough because they're it's flipping HGTV? I love Love It or List It.
Oh, I see.
Love It or List It is such a good reality show because it gives that, like, it still gives a, like, risk factor and aspect while literally having no risk at all.
Yeah.
Because you're staying within your budget.
Uh-huh.
They're, like... rebuilding your house.
Yeah.
So either someone's going to get an awesome new house out of your house, or you're going to get an awesome new house out of your house. And people don't watch it because it's contracting. But I love it. It's awesome.
Did you ever watch House Hunters?
No.
It's good. It's kind of like the iconic HGTV show.
Okay.
And it's pretty much just, like, people are, like, moving to a new city, and, like, a realtor shows them, like, three properties, and they choose between them, and...
Yeah.
My mom ruined it for me.
Oh.
Not ruined it, but she explained to me how, in the not-international versions, the house that they see that's furnished is the one that they always choose, because they've already moved in. Like, it's already happened.
Oh, wait. I think you might have talked to me about this before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't have any more for you to guess, but I have two that I want to talk about. Because one on this list I totally forgot about, but I remember watching this with my family in 2013. It's called Splash. And the idea is pretty much celebrities competing in, like, Olympic high diving.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that Drake Bell was on it.
Horrid. Okay, this is my thing about things like Space Cadets, if it were real, and not a hoax, or like stuff like this where there's like a danger factor. I don't like reality shows that have danger. Like, I'm not a huge fan of Survivor. I used to be. I'm not a huge fan of, like, Put You Out in the Wild, or anything where, like, you have to learn a new skill that could be very potentially dangerous. And I don't know if it's just because, like, the anxiety of it brings me out of the show. But I wish I did like them.
Remind me after. I have a story, but I legally cannot talk about it.
Okay.
And
oh my
it's
gosh.
Cool. It's just about, like, someone
who's on like a reality show, but I can't talk about it on the air.
Cool.
So anyways.
Oh, actually, wait, I totally lied, because you know what show I love?
What?
The Amazing Race.
Oh, I never really watched that one, but I
love The Amazing Race so much. I loved it a lot when I was younger, and then we obtained this family friend, Blair Locke, sweetest man alive. He is a cameraman for The Amazing Race.
Oh.
And he told me like so much stuff about it. But like that's the only like Danger Factor show that I enjoy.
Uh-huh.
Because it's also like it's an adventure.
So this show I want to talk about, I gotta go to the Wikipedia article.
Yeah.
It is called, you might have heard about this before, it's called Susunu, I'm like typing it as I say it. Denpa Shonen.
Susunu Denpa Shonen.
It's a Japanese show.
Mm-hmm.
This show is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Borderline. Like that, like it's oh my god. So pretty much, the title means do not proceed, crazy youth. Okay.
Oh my
so
gosh.
I guess
I wish the audience could see my facial reactions during this episode, because my jaw is on the floor.
So I guess it had like different seasons with different ideas. The most famous one is a comedian, Tomoaki Hamatsu. This is in 1998. So the idea was he won a lottery for a show business related job. They took him to this room and they put him in it.
I know.
You know this room?
Yes,
where he could only live on like what he won for magazines?
Yeah.
Crazy. And the idea was, until he won 1 million yen, which works out to about 10,000 US dollars. And, like, that's what he had to live on. He had no clothes, nothing. And then I think that, like, after he won, they, like, kept giving him, like, other challenges. It was something like that. Like,
show?
No, I think that they were, like, they, like, tried to keep him in it.
Like, mini. Kind of games within the show.
There's something I'm trying to see. So after he won a set of four car tires that like was his like victory. They blindfolded him again. They took him to South Korea. He was given a day in an amusement park where he could eat whatever he wanted. He could ride whatever he wanted to. However, after finishing, he was taken to another apartment. He was once again asked to take off his clothes and challenged to enter sweepstakes, this time to win enough money to afford a flight with Japan Airlines to return home. However, when Hamatsu quickly met this goal after several weeks of entering competitions, it was revised multiple times. First to afford a ticket in business class, then first class. These goals were also met in a matter of weeks. When he had won enough to return to Japan, he was blindfolded, clothed, and taken to another apartment in Japan. When the blindfold was removed, he looked around and instinctively took his clothes off, expecting to continue the challenge.
Ah.
However, the walls of the apartment fell away to reveal that he was actually in a TV studio with a huge live audience. So he didn't think that the show had been broadcast. Oh, I see. The whole idea was that, I see, he thought that they were recording it and then they were going to broadcast it after.
Live.
But it was live. And apparently, like, people had started deciphering where the apartment was. And they would go and just, like, stand outside and take photos of it. And he had no idea the whole time.
That's so
insane.
Because
he was totally cut off.
Okay, that, the reason that freaks me out so much is that it reminds me uncannily of the movie Old Boy.
Oh, yeah. I want to watch that. I've always heard about it.
Yeah,
and
you
I
need
really
to.
Want to watch
it's
it.
Terrifying.
Ooh.
Like, I would immediately feel like that was the situation I was put in.
Yeah.
Oh,
I like this last part, which I feel is when I learned about this, where he kind of had a big thing of when COVID hit.
Yeah.
He was being like everyone, like he was helping like talk to people about like staying inside and like isolating. He was kind of like, here's how I did it. Here's
how
you could
really,
do it.
That's really, really funny.
Oh, man. Dang.
That's so smart.
That's crazy.
That's such a marketing tactic.
He also scaled Mount Everest. What?
This man is crazy.
I think that after he's I think that, like, he hasn't really, like, spoken out against it. I think he was kind of like, yeah, it was cool. It was crazy.
That's
it was fun.
Really interesting.
Yeah, like, he's a comedian, so I don't know if that's part of it or if...
That's, like... Well, also, I guess, like, being a comedian and, like, even just being, like, a public figure at all, that's something that, like, if you keep with it and keep your stance on it, it can be very helpful to your career.
He holds the world record for most, like, for longest time living off of, like, sweepstakes prizes.
Yeah.
The original thing was 335 days. The entire ordeal lasted about 15 months, during which time his diaries on the experience of being locked away from the outside world became a bestseller in Japan, and the TV show broke all records with 17 million viewers each Sunday night.
I must read that book. I must.
I know.
Read his
I'm
diaries.
Curious. Yeah. He said that after he had a hard time carrying on conversations.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Isolated for 15
months. I get that. Yeah.
That'll do it to you. Jeez.
That's crazy.
That's insane.
Wow. Shout out to you, Hamatsu.
Yeah, for real. Well done. That is like quite the feat.
Yeah, he's 47 years old right now.
So, and this aired when?
This aired in 98.
Math.
So he was 23.
Oh my god. I just said 23.
Oh,
Jack, you can do math.
Wow.
For those who don't know, that's really important because I can't do math.
I wonder what the other, because it says that there's like others. The program itself lasted 4 years and had like different major challenges. There's the first one, which is the most famous. There's like four kind of main years. Mm-hmm. Year two was two comedians were put on a desert island with no food nor clue about where they were. And were only told their ordeal would finish if they built a raft and reached Tokyo. Mm-hmm. After their escape from the desert island, which took them 4 months, they were given a swan-shaped pedalo and were told to reach Tokyo with it and then go with the same pedalo from India to Indonesia. Oh, my God.
Christ.
Year three. A comedian named Takashi Ito and a radio DJ from Hong Kong named Sei Shuyan hitchhiked from the Cape of Good Hope in South Africa to Nordkap in Norway. The Duganisms were forbidden to use their travel money and thus faced starvation, dehydration, and harsh weather conditions. At one point in the challenge, Ito collapsed in the Sahara Desert and was airlifted to local hospital for treatment. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. What was that? Seoul, Korea, you said?
The Cape of Good Hope in South Africa.
Oh.
To Nordkap in Norway. I assume the Cape of Good Hope is probably, like, the bottom. And then year four. The segment tested the loyalties of diehard fans of the Central League teams. What sport is Central League? Is that baseball? Baseball, yeah. Baseball is huge in Japan. Did you know that? It's massive.
I did not know that.
And they have a lot of, like, the same names as, like, American teams to help, like, marketing. The Yomiuri Giants, the Hanshin Tigers, yep, Tigers, Giants, and the Chunichi Dragons. The contestants would be confined to a single room with a TV that only showed their team's baseball games. Their faces would also be hidden from public view. If their team won, they got to eat dinner and a small portion of their face would be revealed to the audience. If their team lost, they would get no food and the lights would turn out, leaving them in darkness until the next day's game. If the contestant's favorite team won in a win streak, the quality of the food they eat would increase, as well as gain public exposure and popularity due to their entire face being shown on TV until their team finally lost. A losing streak would mean the contestant would go days in the dark without food. At the end of the season, the contestant would win an overall prize depending on how their team plays. This is in 19, like, this would have been in, like, 2002, the year that I was born.
That's so much. That's imagine crazy. Being the baseball teams.
Yeah.
Imagine being the baseball
teams.
I
would be so stressed.
I would be so stressed. It would motivate me a lot.
But you know that either you win and someone gets food, or you lose
and someone else,
and like either way people are starving to the
either
dark.
Way someone's not getting food. But that's when I'd be like I couldn't, like, as a person on a baseball team, I couldn't support that. As like a manager of a baseball team, I would literally gather every other manager of every other baseball team and be like, okay, hold so on. Let's schedule this so people don't die.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That is insane. Wow. And with that, I think that we got to wrap it up.
crazy.
This week's episode.
This episode felt long. I don't know why. Maybe it's just because we're in a different setting.
Yeah, we're like in person, so we're not as like...
We're in person. We're in like the Radio Laurier building.
Yeah. It's hot in here too. We don't have AC in this building, which we're moving buildings eventually, so we're going to have AC in that building, but this building we don't, so it can be annoying sometimes.
I don't know if you're allowed to say those.
We'll talk about it later. It's like a story.
Yeah.
Later. So with that, thank you for coming this week.
Of course, I had so much fun. This week was actually really fun. I liked this game a lot.
Alrighty. And we'll see everybody next week.
Bye.
Love y'all.